Do you remember when you started your small business? It was no small feat. It took a lot of late nights, early mornings, and the occasional all-nighter. Bottom line, you've been insanely busy ever since. So why not make things a little easier? Our friends at FreshBooks have the solution. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners. It's simple, intuitive, and keeps you way more organized than a dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts. Create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds and then get them paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. File expenses even quicker and keep them perfectly organized for tax time. And the best part? FreshBooks grows alongside your business, so you always have the tools you need when you need them without ever having to learn the ins and outs of accounting. Join the 24 million people who've used FreshBooks. Try it free for 30 days, no catch, and no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/mytaughtyou and enter mytaughtyou in the how did you hear about us section to get started. Hey guys, this is My Leak. This is the My Taught You podcast. Today is Saturday, February 9th, 2019. This is my first recorded podcast of the year. I dropped the first night of my live podcast that I recorded back in November in Atlanta. That's been up for a couple weeks. It's 2.5 hours. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, that is probably my longest podcast that I've ever put up to date. And it is on the topic of marathon mindset, which is really was weighing really heavy on my heart at the end of the year. And so it was just something that I wanted to tackle. I don't know if it's too late to say Happy New Year, but I'm going to say it to you anyway. I want to say hello. I want to let you know that I have missed you guys. When I am dropping podcasts more frequently, there's a lot of sort of banter between us. I love when you guys tweet me. I love it when you guys email me. I never got more emails than when I did the podcast, the I Hate My Job podcast 1 and 2. Like, everybody hates their job. I get it. So I still like getting your emails. I still like hearing from you, and I still like getting the emails. Sometimes people will email me and say, you know what, I don't hate my job anymore. And so as I was combing through my inbox today, I saw a couple of those, and that makes me happy. I took most of 2018 off to have the baby and to be home, and every week I would get sort of my weekly podcast stats, and you guys are still listening. And so every week a friend must be telling a friend or inviting a new friend to listen to me. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody out there for kind of like keeping me going, because if I was ever thinking about stopping recording these podcasts, the spins always let me know that you find the information, you find it useful. And that is really why I do this. I do this because I want to share useful information. If you don't know why I started to record these podcasts, I started recording these podcasts because I felt like this was like, there's a ton of information out now. You know, you don't really even have to like read a book, and now you can audiobook and you can podcast. And it was just so hard to get information that I felt like so many of us needed. And so as long as you keep listening, I'll keep podcasting because you find the information useful. So now feels like no better time than ever to go ahead and get my bag on. I'm going to go ahead and ask you to rate my podcast. I rarely ask you to do this, but rating my podcast is how you all keep me relevant. It is how I land on the Black History Month podcast list again on Apple iTunes. And so it's like, you know, I haven't recorded a ton, but I'm still up there and I'm still getting noticed. And so I'm just going to ask that you rate my podcast on iTunes when you get a chance. Those help keep me in the mix during times like this when I've had to sort of like shift gears for just a second. But I'm back. I'm coming back. I feel like I am. Okay. today's podcast is going to serve as a what I've been up to of sorts, a how I have been leaning into this current season of my life, as well as answer some of your questions. You can still write me questions. My email address is mytaughtyou, all together, all lowercase, at gmail.com. So you can still write me. Many people have written to simply ask how I'm doing, and the truth is that I am well. I had a lot of growing moments in 2018, a lot of growing moments. But I feel better, and that's all that matters. I'm drinking my water. I am sitting on the floor in my bedroom recording this podcast about 25 minutes before a date night. So I'm going to, if we have to go past my time and I have to be late for my date night, that's just what we're going on. That's just how my life is right now, is that, you know, everything is pushed back about 15 minutes. So I'm doing well. I had a lot of growing moments. I've got about 9 pages of notes today. I'm not sure where I left off with you guys or what I last said when I last recorded a podcast, because it's all a blur. But I do have a question, you guys. I look back at my 2018 here on the podcast, and I just want to know something. How was I podcasting? How do I have podcasts with a brand new baby, you guys? What was I even saying? You know, I still can't even believe I did that, but I did. But anyway, how am I doing and what am I up to? Like anything new, adding another human being to the family dynamic continues to be an adjustment. Each week we're settling into a new life and routine as partners and parents of Noah. And I feel like I have to say this. I have 6 weeks left. I'm counting. I am still breastfeeding. Please hold on for this very quick PSA. Breastfeeding provides numerous health benefits for infants and mothers alike. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends exclusive breastfeeding for approximately the first 6 months of life, and continued breastfeeding with complementary foods through at least the first year. That is from the CDC. What is that saying? The CDC, the American Academy of Pediatrics, they recommend that you breastfeed your baby for the first 6 months of their life exclusively, and then for the next 6 months up to a year, you give them food while also breastfeeding. Sometimes I feel like people are like, you know, they say numerous health benefits. So if you will allow me, I would just like to sort of tick through some of the insane amount of benefits that breastfeeding has. Breastfed babies have stronger immune systems, less diarrhea and constipation, fewer colds, fewer respiratory illnesses like pneumonia, fewer ear infections, better vision, lower rates of infant mortality, lower rates of SIDS, less illness, and overall less hospitalization. Parents have up to 6 times less absenteeism from work. Breastfed babies may become healthier children with fewer instances of allergies, eczema, and asthma, fewer childhood cancers, lower risk of type 1 and type 2 diabetes, fewer instances of Crohn's disease, lower rates of respiratory illness, fewer speech and orthodontic problems, fewer cavities, less likelihood of becoming obese later in childhood, improved brain maturation, greater immunity to infection. Teens and adults will find benefits for life. They're less likely to develop rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, less likely to develop heart disease in adulthood, lower risk of multiple sclerosis, lower rates of pre- and postmenopausal breast cancers. And mom, you are breastfeeding produces the naturally soothing hormones oxytocin and prolactin that promote stress reduction and positive feelings, increased calmness. Breastfed babies cry less overall and have fewer incidences of childhood illness. Breastfeeding can support the wellness of body, mind, and spirit for the whole family. Benefits for life include lower risk of breast cancer, lower risk of ovarian cancer. This is for mom. Lower risk of rheumatoid arthritis, less endometriosis, less osteoporosis with age, less diabetes, less hypertension, less cardiovascular disease. Why did I want to run through all of that? Because despite overall increases in breastfeeding rates for Black and white infants over the last decade, racial disparities persist. Interventions specifically addressing barriers to breastfeeding for Black women are needed. And so I, down to my last 6 weeks of recommended breastfeeding, and I've done so with the support of other close girlfriends that breastfed their babies for the first year. I've also been able to make this possible with the breastfeeding support group for Black moms on Facebook, with 62,000 other Black moms supporting each other on the journey. As someone with a pretty large platform, and this being Black History Month, and me just deciding that this is the hill I want to shout from, I find it necessary to share this information. It is not easy, but once I got into the swing of it, there was no turning back. 6 weeks to go, and then all bets are off. And so that is my personal PSA to you. If you are considering breastfeeding, or if you know someone who is breastfeeding, go ahead and support them. So often, because I wasn't breastfed, and I didn't really know a lot of people who were breastfed, so we don't really have all the information, and a lot of times we're uncomfortable, and most of the time we have misinformation. And so, oh, I couldn't breastfeed, or oh, I didn't have milk, or oh, it was this, you know, a lot of those things are myths. I'm not saying that there aren't some reasons why you couldn't, a lot of the stuff that you've heard are myths. And so I'm sharing this with you to support someone who is breastfeeding. Okay. Do not be like, so how long are you planning on breastfeeding? Or are that's too long. Do not ever say that to someone, that they're doing something too long. There is no such thing. Please don't do that. So support your friend moms or mom friends who are breastfeeding. Support your sisters, support your wives, support your cousins, support your girlfriends. Do that. Anyway, that is what I'm up to. Racing through my 6 hours a day, with a little one at home. So, I'm finally back to work, sort of full time, 6 hours a day. So I guess I moved on without sharing to you what the heck I'm doing. So I'm back to work full time, which is 6 hours a day. Noah has started educational daycare. After staying home with him, along with a full time nanny, I had a full time nanny at 4 weeks. So I had him by myself for 4 weeks. And then at that point, I had a full time nanny because I still had to work. So I had help. I have to tell you that I am a huge fan of what he's learning every day at daycare. It's like I get these pictures, and it's like they're learning about the weather and this and that. So that stuff is very cool. He, so much independence has been gained. And it's almost as if someone has sort of thrown a match on his development. He has exploded. He's doing everything. Just earlier today, we went to go get his foot measured so that we can get our walking shoes, because somebody is trying to walk, you guys. But so that's basically what I'm up to. Okay. But I want to talk about, I really wanted to spend some time talking about this season, that I'm in. I look back. I'm sorry. I don't know why I think because I'm sitting on the floor in my room, I'm a little bit uncomfortable, but I'm going to switch positions. So I look back at my life in my 20s and 30s, and I don't know if you guys know this, but this is your girl's last year as a 30-something. I'm 39. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Yes, in about 3 short months, I will be joining the 40 Club. I have to tell you that I am having some light anxiety about it. It just feels old to me. I know. I recall having a similar feeling as I was turning 30. You know, it's just that switch from decade to decade. It's just like, wow, you know. But I know once I get into the swing of things, it's going to be just fine. The difference in my feelings between turning 30 and 40 is that I definitely feel like I use the time wisely. I guess I can say the same thing about like my 20s, from 20 to 30. I partied the first half of my 20s, and then I focused like crazy from 25 on. My 30s were about taking the things I learned and taking chances on various entrepreneurial ventures, taking much more calculated chances on love, and the biggest to date has probably been motherhood. Most of you know I tried to freeze my eggs, and when that didn't work, I decided to conceive naturally, which I did, and I don't necessarily think I should call it trying. I just stopped preventing in 2017 once we made the decision that we wanted to potentially start a family. I want to be clear that I didn't live my life super calculated with each day having a sort of check mark of what I got done and what I didn't, but I will tell you that I moved through life with a sense of urgency. Today's quotable is, "Very little good can happen at a snail's pace." That was the subheader of a Psychology Today article I read about having a sense of urgency. I'll say it again, very little can happen at a snail's pace. So, and within this article, I found something that says that I agree with. It says, find the right resources to support your success. And that was sort of like the bingo, ding, 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 aha moment for me, is that you have to find those that can support you. So you have to build your personal life team. So a lot of people write me all the time asking, how do you build a team as an entrepreneur? What is the first hire? And so you can apply that same sort of mindset to your life. Do you need a new doctor? Do you need a nutritionist? Do you need a financial planner, an attorney, a strength coach, an accountant, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a spiritual leader, a college professor, a career counselor? Is there a particular family member that you need on your side? Do you need a coach? Do you need a yoga instructor? These are just some things to think about. And it doesn't always, all of these people don't necessarily have to be your friends or family. I think too many of us are depending on people that don't really have their ish together to help. You know, they're working on their stuff, so they can't really help us if they haven't got their stuff sorted. And so we just have to give people room to do that. Many of my greatest resources have been strangers that have now become friends and or family. And for that, I am grateful. And so I think I have done a decent job in the last decade of my life of really finding the areas of opportunity, also known as spots that I've been failing, stuff that I need to get together. So just doing a really good job of being open and honest with myself about things that I'm maybe not that great at, or maybe I need some additional assistance, because nobody, you know, is great and out here doing everything on their own. But I really want to keep talking about this season. So this season for me has been a downshift. I don't care how you cut it, having a child slows the train down for everyone's safety, right? Like this train had to slow down for everybody on it. I'm still going, just not at the pace I had been for the past 20 years. In the past 20 years, I have built the kind of trust in relationships that allow for me to take a break. I worked very hard on that. And if you aren't quite 40, or if you are 40, you still have some time. But one of the questions that I want you to ask yourself is, can people trust you? Can people trust you? There will always be someone that feels like they can't, but in general, are you a trustworthy person? Can people trust you with their time, with their heart, with their secrets? Can they trust you to be honest? Do you do what you say you are going to do? The other day, I was on a flight from New York to Atlanta. And I was watching In Search of Greatness. It is like a sports documentary, and it has Wayne Gretzky, Jerry Rice, some other people. I'm not really a huge, huge sports person, but the title In Search of Greatness intrigued me. And I was super fascinated with Jerry Rice, who I'm not, I had heard of him, but I didn't really know his story. But the one thing that kind of just like stuck out to me is they said in 20 seasons, he was only late to work like once or twice. Like, how many times have you been late to work, or have you like just not had it together? And everyone, even if you Google, because I was trying to find out exactly what he said, and if any Wikipedia, any article, anything that you Google about like work ethic and Jerry Rice, like that's all people talk about. And he also talked about dressing the part. He says, you know, I think appearance is everything. He's a professional. He never felt like he had arrived. He accepted criticism. And he said the mark of a champion makes the players better around them, is someone who makes the players better around them. And so, again, I guess I ask, can you be trusted, right? And sometimes I think we think of that as like, can I keep a secret? But it's just like, can you be trusted to do what you say you're going to do or be who you say you're going to be? I also feel like this is a season that I'm really and finally using all of the books that I read, and many of the life lessons that seemed small back then are starting to make sense. You work and you work and you work, and it's just like, for what? What am I working for, right? You make the money, and we've talked about this. You can make all the money, but if you're not happy, money's not going to change anything. If you're not satisfied with your life, money is not going to satisfy you in your life. So you get to a point where, and hopefully you get to this point sooner rather than later, where you begin to access those intangibles, relationships, you know, those learnings, those lessons, and everything starts to make sense. Or sometimes you don't, because that's the thing, is that time, everything has to, you have to give things time. And that has been like this huge learning lesson for me. I started going to therapy right as I started my business. And a lot of times I would go through things professionally and my therapist would remind me that you've never done this before. There's only one way to learn that something doesn't work, right? Is that you have to go there, you have to get in it and find out it doesn't work, right? And sometimes you have to do it two or three times, because sometimes we are just fools like that. But sometimes that's the only way you're going to do it. But now I'm like, okay, a lot of these learnings, these lessons, the stuff that I've read, the stuff that I've seen is all, I'm starting to access it. I'm starting to access it and use it and take advantage of this sort of credit that I have in life, right? It's like sometimes you are stacking things up that you don't need right now. You are building relationships with people that you don't need anything from right now. You know, it might be 5 years down the line or 10 years down the line. And so that's where I am in my life, is that I'm going to tell you, I promised someone something via email 1 week ago. I promised them last week. So let's just say I promised them last Friday that they would have it on Monday. And when I went back, you know, because things are hectic, and I realized that I did not do what I said I was going to do. And so I sent an email, I apologized. And I think people who have worked with me long enough know that that is not how I typically operate. And so I am operating in my grace / credit area of life, right? So people are giving me a pass. I'm getting some passes for being a little bit slower, being a little bit tardy with some of the things that I'm supposed to be doing. So I am truly living a life by design, which took time. I'm sure things will speed back up, and maybe they'll never speed back up to how fast they were. I look back at the times, like when I used to record podcasts, I had so much time. So if you are out here and you're like, oh my God, I don't want to be single. Okay, I get it. But please take advantage of the time, because I was single and I was recording my butt off. I was single, I was home, and I was just grinding, right? And so now I looked and I think, I don't know how many podcasts, I've got over 150, closer to 200 than zero. So I used my time wisely. So if you're not, you know, at the place that you want to be, or maybe you want to be in a relationship or you want to have a family, go ahead and max out this time while you're single so that you get some credit and you have a little bit of leeway when these things do happen. Because now I get it. It was like, I used my time well, so that now if I don't record as fast, I still, for anybody who starts a podcast today, I'm still ahead, right? But let me get back to my notes. That's what happened. I have these notes and then I go way off topic. So now we have to just reel me back in. I will tell you that I don't mourn the old life at all, but I am still learning to adjust to the differences. thinking about seasons. Fall and winter are seasons that don't appear to be productive in the life cycle, but these are the times when trees go through a process similar to hibernation called dormancy. Dormancy is like hibernation in that everything within the plant slows down, the metabolism, the energy consumption, the growth, and so on. The first thing we see during the wintertime is the tree turns brown, the leaves fall off, and on the outside, the tree doesn't maybe look that desirable. And so for some of you that might be in a less desirable season on the surface, understand that during the winter, those roots are still growing deeper into the soil and regenerating in time for spring. So you are, while everyone may not be able to see exactly what's happening with you as a tree, your roots are growing deeper and you are getting ready for another season. And so that's kind of the season that I am. I'm not the brightest tree. I'm not the greenest right now. Some of my leaves have fallen off, but I am digging my roots in. And I do really feel that way because I had gotten to a point where I really was just like, what next? Now what? And for me, I really didn't want to go through all of this and it not at least try to create the sort of life that I wanted, which included a family. Like, I felt like I owed it to myself to try. And if things didn't work out, I would have known that I did. And I honestly bought my house and moved into my house thinking that I was going to turn 40. I had just broken up with someone and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be single forever. I know it. So let me just get a nice house in a neighborhood. You know, I bought a townhouse because I was like, oh, you know, I'll be single. I'll be alone. I won't want to just have like a single family home by myself and look, right? So I try to put the effort out there. So that's that. So I'm in a different season. You know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not the shiniest thing out there, but I'm putting my roots down for the sort of life that I want to have when I'm 50 and 60 and 70, God willing. So if you're in a season that may not appear to be bearing fruit, don't worry, because you're sending your roots deeper into the soil. And a Steve Sutherland quote for you: I believe in process. I believe in four seasons. I believe that winter's tough, but spring's coming. I believe that there is a growing season. And I think that you realize that in life, you grow and you get better. So I'm turning 40, you guys. I may need to do a whole podcast on my road to 40. I will tell you that I am incredibly proud of myself. Now on to some listener questions. Hi, Malik. Before we begin, I would like to start off by thanking you for being the all-around awesome older cousin that I've never had. You got it. I am yours. You have taught me so much and helped me cultivate my views, values, and practices through your podcast. So, deep sigh. I am a new mom to a 14-month-old. He's not really a newborn, but he is my first child. After going through postpartum, separation from my child's father, and just a life-altering experience, I am finally doing what I want to do and what's best for me. I have begun speaking up for myself, instilling structure in my life, and setting boundaries. My latest struggle comes now, as in right now, while I hear my child tearing up the house while my dad is babysitting him. It is now 9:30 p.m. on a Thursday night. She wrote that in caps. I live alone now, and I love the silence that comes with it. I plan on having my dad come over or sleep over more often to assist with watching baby, since I work from home and technically baby isn't supposed to be here. How can I be firm but yet gentle with setting rules of having people out of my house by 9 p.m. and also by telling my dad to respect my peace and quietness that I'm used to if he doesn't spend the night? So I wrote her back and I just said, does baby have a consistent schedule or bedtime? I would guess if we're keeping him on a schedule, I would imagine that a one-year-old would be asleep by 9:30, right? I guess I'm not sure why he's up and why you feel like this is your dad's fault, if he's helping you out. More details, please. So she says, baby does not have a consistent schedule. After speaking with my therapist, I am in the process of developing structure in my life. I've started my 4:30 a.m. routine, which means I really do my best to have him sleeping by 9:30. The aim is for a bedtime of 9:30. However, it doesn't always work out that way. It's not my dad's fault that he is up, but I do feel like there is miscommunication when it comes to the rules of my house and how I run my house. If I am implementing structure and trying to stay on schedule, then I need to find a solution and a great form of communication when it comes to guests that come over or my dad that will be staying over every Thursday night. Am I being ungrateful? I do realize that my dad is helping me out and that I need to adjust to him being in my space because he really is here to help. So here is my answer. If you have to ask if you're being ungrateful 9 times out of 10, the answer is yes. This seems like a really easy solve to me. First, I am very sorry to hear about the postpartum and the separation from your child's father, but I am also very glad to hear that you found a way of life that works for you. I remember the first week of motherhood being sheer chaos for me. I kept saying to myself, I cannot do this. I literally felt like my life was turned upside down and spinning out of control. The first thing I did was find a schedule online. Yes, I just Googled newborn schedule and found one that I felt would work for me, and I just stuck to it. I stuck to it regardless of what anyone had to say about it. A friend came by and said, babies don't do schedules, and another seasoned mom laughed in agreement. Let me tell you something, my baby has been on a schedule since he was 1 week old. He goes down at the same time every day, and people are shocked because there's very little fuss. There's nap time, good night, and then there's bedtime, good night. More than anything, the schedule helped me gain some control over how things were going. The routines have some flexibility and they aren't always boring. Our routine includes a 27-minute Sesame Street break so I can clean up after dinner and just before we go down to bed. I don't want to hear about your no screens before 2. Okay. And don't be afraid to put the kids to bed early. Do your Googles. There are some good schedules and routines out there. You can do 1-year-old schedule, and it really works. It does. Sometimes people think that if I keep my kid up later, they'll sleep later. But the truth is, if you put them to bed earlier, they will still sleep. You know, you can do 7:30 to 7:30. And I think at around 14 months, I think they probably need 12 to 14 hours. It might be 10 to 12 hours of sleep. And so if you just make sure you're getting that, all will be better. And the other thing too about keeping a schedule is when you stay on a schedule, you pretty much know what's going on, right? So if baby's fussy, you have a feeding schedule, it's like, oh, he's hungry. Oh, if baby's fussy and baby hasn't had a nap, oh, it's nap time. And that's usually, it helps so much. Once you're comfortable and confident in your routine, you'll be able to share it. And it doesn't come across like you're bossing dad around or guests around or anything like that. It's simply what happens in your home. Because if I were grandpa seeing baby every other Thursday night, I want to play and roughhouse. And if you get into a routine with a baby that is asleep at 9:30, unless you're going out or you have to work, you don't really have the need for the evening sitter anymore. And now grandpa can keep baby during times that he's awake and he's up and he's lively, and now everyone's happy. So this isn't necessarily a dad issue. It's a you sort of structuring the home issue, which I think you know. And once you do it, I'm pretty sure that some of these issues and concerns that you have will probably fall to the wayside. Next letter. A year and a half ago, I accepted a salary lower than I deserved and way less than my incumbent. But I was transitioning industries from nonprofit to corporate, so I justified a step back to propel forward. I'm in a company with a great name, recognition, and the projects are giving me the credibility for my next move. I am not entitled. The job description I received does not match the responsibility that I have been given. I always laugh when you guys say, I am not entitled, because usually you are, but it's okay. It's okay. Prior to my 1-year anniversary, I met with my boss and shared my accomplishments and requested a review of my job title and compensation. My boss agreed I deserved a raise and was going to her manager. In September, my boss informed me I would be getting a raise. No numbers were shared. At the end of November, I followed up, and not for the first time, with no real news. Her response is she was waiting for her boss. But in that time, my department has had 2 new hires and 1 internal promotion. So clearly, I am not the priority or as critical to the team as my boss states. Time to get a new job. December, my boss shares that her husband has cancer and will need me to be of greater support. Following the news, my boss confirmed my raise the same day, and I know it's because she needs me, but my goal was to be out by the top of 2019. But I feel bad for leaving her while her husband is sick. Over the summer, her husband had an organ transplant. I held down her job and mine. We were in the process of rolling out new software. I stayed because I had a lot to learn and something to leverage. This time, I know that issue has nothing to do with me or my career, but I do feel bad just walking out. My quality of work has allowed her to actually take time off and not check in. The new raise is okay, but I know I could do better. My question, do I continue to leave while her husband is sick, or do I stick it out and be of support, then leave? I feel selfish. Well, you are selfish, but it's business, and just about everyone's being selfish in business. Your company didn't really rush to give you a raise because they were worried about other things more important than you, which could be deemed selfish. So when we're talking about business, it is what it is. So go ahead and be selfish. I will say this. I talked about this in my most recent Marathon Mindset podcast, and it was this: you took the job at a lower pay so that you could learn because you didn't have the experience or expertise. And this is now somehow becoming the job's fault. Remember to keep your eyes on your own paper. We don't know why the new hires or the internal promotions happen, so it's best to not try to compare what the company is doing with what you're doing, because there are a lot of politics that go on that don't always have anything to do with you. You said you had a lot to learn, and I guess it's fair to say that you feel that you've learned it. One bone I have to pick with you is that when you said the quality of your work allows your boss to take time off and not check in, she was going to take the time off whether you were there or not. Her husband is sick, potentially dying, so she's going to get this time off. It's great that she has someone that is working well, but she earned her own right to get the time off. And so that is the point that I kind of want to just like, okay, sis, I'm going to just bring you back. Like, can we just come back here on that one? I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that they can do better. And to them, I always say, go on and go do better. But don't torture yourself or others with all of the guessing, analytics, and speculation. Just be out, you know, good luck. And that is my answer, is that if you feel like you can do better, go do better, you know. And I've dealt with that on other sides of the coin of like, you know, I've had people that have maybe worked for me like, oh, I can do better. And it's like, okay, go do better, because this is business. And I say this as it relates to business or to personal. I don't want anything that doesn't want me. And so if you don't want to be there, when you don't want to be somewhere, you do everyone a disservice by staying. And so it's not about you, you know, it's not about you staying because let's not worry about your boss, her husband. Those are her issues. We're going to stay focused on you. You don't want to be here, which makes you no longer good for the company, which means that you should go. And so to you, I say go and good luck. Last question is right here. Malik, I need some advice. I've dealt with a few failures as far as not getting accepted into certain programs to advance my career in the medical field. I obtained my bachelor's degree in biology after 5 years. I started out with the passion to be a pharmacist, but after so many rejections, decided it was time for a switch. I then decided I wanted to pursue nursing, only to have to retake the anatomy and physiology portion of the entrance exam. My plan is to pass the retake and get accepted into the program next fall. I'm late for date night, y'all. I feel like over the years, failure has really caused me to become so unmotivated. I've given up mentally. I write out a study schedule, but can't seem to stick to it. I have so many excuses as to why I can't stay on a consistent study schedule. I don't really have a strong support system when it comes to my career goals. I want to know if you have any insight on what I can do to get on track to prepare for entry into a nursing program. By the way, I'm 31 with an 8-year-old and a 3-month-old. I'm also working 2 very demanding jobs. One job I work as a lab analyst, and the second, I'm a paraprofessional counseling special needs children. My answer, those last few sentences sound like fair and rational reasons as to why you can't really stay on a consistent schedule. You're doing a lot. Congratulations on the new baby, by the way. My first question is, do you really love this? Do you really want to become a nurse, or is this something that you're just doing to make more money or to quote unquote advance your career? Because if you aren't going into these programs on scholarship and you're going to spend a lot of money to make a little more money. We need to think about that, right? Like, we really need to think about that. So you also just had a baby, and maybe you can take this time to figure out what you really want to do that wouldn't require so much studying and qualifying, and find something that comes easy to you. I think so often we think that we have to do hard things, and that we can't succeed if what we're doing isn't really, really hard. And it doesn't have to always be that hard. You can succeed in something that is like a breeze, that you can do while in between picking up an 8-year-old and holding a 3-month-old, right? So I think about this article that I read by Thomas Opong, and he says, "Time, not money, is your most valuable asset. Use it to advance your career and life while you still have it." He also says, "Doing meaningful work you enjoy takes effort, time, and creativity, and there are no guarantees. It's full of risks. People who are comfortable hate risks. They choose stability over maximizing their potential, and that can make you miserable." So when I read this letter, I hear stability over maximizing your potential, and I hear that you are miserable. It's not that you can come up with every excuse for the studying, for the exams. I hear that you are miserable. I hear that you are miserable because I feel like you are choosing stability. I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, write me, but I want you to take a risk. I want you to take a risk and use the time to find something that you love. He says, "You don't even have to start your own business. What you need is something that you can emotionally and deeply connect with." That's all I got for you guys this first time. Thank you for listening. As always, I will return. You can always tweet me at myleek. You can always email me, mytaughtyou@gmail.com. I'm on the Instagram gram at myleek. Hit me up. I will talk to you guys later.